Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it is a living word. And so, Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts that we may receive your word to us today, both corporately as a church family, but also individually, that, Lord, we might serve you better. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder how you feel when someone's very kind to you. Maybe when someone helps you on the bus, or gives you some flowers, or visits you perhaps when you're unwell. It's very humbling, isn't it, sometimes when people are so kind to us. But it can encourage us, it can make us thankful, it can give us hope. All kinds of reactions that we might have. And of course, one of the characteristics of God that is said throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament into the New, it talks about God and his loving kindness. God's loving kindness that never fails. And today we're thinking about ministering grace and love. We're talking about our front line. I hope you've been thinking about where your front line is, whether it's somebody at the post office or wherever, a neighbour or whatever. But we've been thinking, haven't we, of what we do on our front line to show that we are different because we belong to God through Jesus Christ. And so today we're thinking about how do we minister grace and love. Grace is a difficult concept, isn't it? We have that mnemonics where we say, well, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense, which is great and it does help us understand. But grace as itself as a concept is not always easy to understand, which is why I quite like the loving kindness which it talks about of God in the Old Testament. And of course, we see God's love and grace displayed in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus himself, who gave his all to be just as an ordinary human being on earth, and yet at the same time to be the Son of God, and then to give his very life in our place. He bestows on us the riches of his grace. And grace and love are both things that we don't have to do, that are done because whoever is ministering grace and love chooses to do. There's no compulsion. In fact, you can't compel somebody to love or to give you grace. It's something that we have to choose to do. But as Christians, we want to do it because of God's loving kindness to us. And I wonder if you could just pause for a minute and think about God's loving kindness to you. Maybe this year, maybe over the years. How has God treated you? Because as we think and as I think of God's loving kindness to me, I am just amazed. I'm humbled and amazed. But because of God's loving kindness to us, that is our motivation for showing love and kindness to others. He is our source of love and grace. And as we receive from God, so we are empowered to give out to others. And there's many, many examples throughout the Bible. I've been reading Kings recently, and I was reminded of the Shunammite woman. And not a Jewish person, but Elisha came along and she recognized that he was a holy man of God. And so when he came by, what did she do? She prepared a meal for him. And because he came that way often, she said to her husband, oh, let's build him a special room. And I like one of the versions that says, and they put in there a table and a lamp and a chair and a bed. And I thought, isn't that great? She showed loving kindness to a man of God. One of my other ones that I really think about is Ananias. Do you remember Ananias in the New Testament in Acts 9? How he showed loving kindness to Saul. Saul was a persecutor of the Christians. He would find out where they were and cast them in prison. He would persecute them. And then Ananias was asked to go and see him and pray for him. Can you imagine having to do that? And yet, because God told him to do it, even though he didn't particularly want to do it, he went. And as he went in to see Saul, with great courage, because could this be a hoax? Could Saul just be tricking him? He didn't know. So he had to have courage. And he had commitment because God told him to go. And what struck me when I was reading it again, was it last night? That he went in and he said, "Brother Saul." What a way to speak to someone who was a persecutor of the Christians. So Ananias showed him love and kindness. It could have cost him his life even. But he went in and prayed for him. And it was as if scales fell from his eyes and Saul could see again, because he'd been blinded by that light on the road to Damascus. So how do we minister God's grace and love? We had the story, didn't we, that probably we know so well, the story of the Good Samaritan, as we often call it. It actually never says he was good, but we always call it the story of the Good Samaritan. And it was in answer to the question that the lawyer posed to Jesus. And the lawyer said, "Well, who is my neighbor?" So who is your neighbor? Who is on your front line? Well, the man in the story had been overcome. He was overcome by robbers, by pain, by injury, and hopelessness. That was the situation of the poor man in the road. But what about the people that we meet? Have they been overcome? What about the mum at the school gate who looks frazzled? Or the cashier at the supermarket who we think, "Oh, we should just hurry up." Have she been overcome or he been overcome by troubles at home or problems? Or the girl on the next desk in the office? Or the noisy neighbour who is really troublesome and never has a good word to say? Is it because they've been overcome by problems and difficulties? Or failed relationships, or stress, ill health, anxiety, then the list goes on in our society today. So many people maybe are not lying in the road injured in that way, but they have been overcome by the pressures of society today. So how do we see them? Are we ready to show them kindness and love? And secondly, the man was overlooked. The man in the road was overlooked. The priest and the Levite, they saw him. Oh yes, they actually saw him. But they overlooked him. It's interesting, they probably, because of the journey they were on, they'd probably just been to Jerusalem, to the temple. In fact, they'd probably just been, as it were, to church. Makes you think, doesn't it? And yet, on the way home, they chose to ignore. They came out and overlooked the man. Why did they overlook him? Maybe it wasn't very convenient. Maybe it was a dirty job. Maybe they didn't want to share the goodness of God that they had for themselves. And often it isn't convenient, isn't it, to show loving kindness. Maybe it takes up too much time and we're in a hurry. In our confession, we often say, "Forgive us for the things when we don't do what we ought to do." How often don't we do that? But then the Samaritan, who actually was an enemy, really, of the man on the road, in the road, was moved to compassion. The Greek word that's actually used, I think it's only used of one other person apart from Jesus. He was moved in his heart. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want to be able to see people as Jesus himself sees them, to be moved to compassion. But what did he do? The Samaritan, he didn't do anything very spectacular. He didn't need spiritual gifts. He didn't need a degree or a counseling course or whatever. What did he do? He bandaged him up. He gave him a lift and he gave him a place to rest. He ministered love and grace, loving kindness. We probably won't have that same scenario that Jesus told. So how may we minister grace and love? May it be just a listening ear, a lift to the hospital, an invite for a coffee, a help with some work, care for a cat or a dog, a visit to a sick person. You see, the second reading that we had from Matthew, Jesus said, when you do it to someone, you do it as unto me. Do you remember? They said, well, when did I visit somebody in prison? When did I visit the sick? When did I do that to you, Jesus? And Jesus said, you do it to one of them, you do it to me. Wow. So when we are showing loving kindness to others, we are doing it to Jesus. We never know when opportunities come. A friend of mine this week, she was doing, they had cake and coffee or something like, no, I think just cakes, outside where she worked. It's one of the charities for Macmillan that they support, not round here. And she said there was a homeless man in a doorway a few doors along. So she went along and she took him a cake. And he said, oh, that's very kind, but I'm really cold. I wonder if I could have a drink. So she said, yes, no problem. So she went into work and made him a drink and then went back out with a cake and a coffee. And he was very grateful. And she works in a building society. It overwhelms me, this, so I'm struggling to say it. And at the end of the day, he came in and he said, I want to make this donation. This is the money I've collected today. And I want to give it to Macmillan because my mum died of cancer. You see, loving kindness has repercussions that we never know about. But it moved that man. I hope God's loving kindness to us moves us in a similar way, to want to minister love and kindness to others. Each of us, every single one of us, has a ministry of loving kindness. But we have to have courage to speak out and to act. And sometimes people don't want it. I was in the supermarket the other day and there was a gentleman in front of me and he was struggling really to put his stuff in his bag, so I offered to help him, but he didn't want my help and that was fine. But when he'd finished doing what he was doing, he said, oh, but thank you very much. And it was a contact with him. I don't know whether that meant anything to him, but I thought, you know, sometimes we might offer and people won't want it, but we should be able to offer. So we have to have courage to speak out and to act. But we also have to have a commitment, because Jesus said, do you remember those last words that Anne read out to us? Sue read out to us, sorry. Go and do likewise. That's Jesus' command. So we need a commitment to do that, to minister love and kindness to our neighbours, to those on the front line. And there may be a cost in time. Very often it's time, isn't it? It might be monetary, but it's in effort too. You see, the Samaritan, it cost him time to go out of his way to take this man to an inn and to talk to the innkeeper and then to go back again when he was going back. And it cost him some monetary as well. But do we look out for opportunities to pour out loving kindness on our neighbours? We love because God loved us first. So this week, how will you minister loving kindness? Where will you minister loving kindness? We need to be proactive. We need to be looking for opportunities. It's a good thing to say, isn't it, at the beginning of the day when we pray, Lord, show me where I should be ministering love and kindness today. But be prepared to obey God's command, to have courage, commitment, and to bear the cost. Because Jesus has said to each one of us, go and do likewise. And with God's help, we can. Amen.